The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Harold Perrineau, and you're listening to the Geeks on the Radio, Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
The final show for 2022, the final show of the year.
It's been a great year.
Yes, golf clap.
All clap into mics like we're not supposed to.
Exactly. Well, first off, how was everybody's Christmas? Y'all celebrated this past week. Did you guys have a good time? You enjoy it?
Yeah, we drove, Caitlin and I and Max drove up to my in-laws in Ludington, and we had great weather driving up,
and the next day
it dumped like 17 inches of snow.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Man. Now, is that what they call the cyclone bomb? They gave it a name?
Yeah, right. So it was a cyclone bomb, right? So in Ludington, it didn't get below zero, but it got to like 6 degrees or something like that. But because my in-laws live like 3 blocks from Lake Michigan, it was like 50 to 60 mile an hour wind gust for 3 days.
Wow.
We have family that live up in that area. I have family also, right? So they were posting pictures of like, we can't get out because there's 7-foot drifts across our road today. So it just was it was all drifting. So it was just the wind, right? It didn't snow. It snowed about a foot and a half, right? But then it just blew everywhere. We were pretty much, we didn't do anything for 3 days. And then we drove home Christmas Day. If you don't have a dash cam, get one. Mm-hmm. Because then you can shame all of the other idiotic drivers that are just stupid. Because
do you see a lot of that?
There were a handful of people that just drive too fast for the conditions, and they don't care about you. They don't care about your safety. They're just let's go. They tailgate you. They try and pass you when you're passing a plow. I was really, really upset because I had one driver that was just a complete moron. I get it, right? If you're comfortable driving in the snow, you drive a little bit faster than you probably should.
Yeah.
But it's not about you, right? It's about everybody else on the road too. So
yep.
Take it easy, take it slow.
That can extend to not only just winter driving, but just driving in general.
Oh boy, yeah.
I mean, I'm not even going to get on this tangent here, but I mean, holy cow.
It just was like, dude, it's Christmas Day. I get it. He tried to pass me on the right because I was going slow in the left lane, tried to pass a snowplow in the right lane. He tried to sneak in between me and the plow. Didn't work so well for him. He had to slam on his brakes, got behind me. Then he went around me after I passed the snowplow. And, like, you could tell he was pissed, right? He was giving me the finger, you know, the whole deal. And the girl in the passenger seat was dead straight. I looked over. She was dead straight pan forward because you could tell she was embarrassed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
You could tell she was just like, get me out of this car with this. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, she's
a psycho.
She's thinking about her relationship choices at that moment.
No, we haven't really talked about it in a while, but you mentioned dash cam. You know, I love having a dash cam for anything. For me, it's peace of mind. Rarely do I go back to the dash cam and go, I'm grabbing that footage off of there, but I know it's there. I'm running the Garmin Alexa enabled dash cam, and I like it. Again, I don't often check the footage on it or anything like that. I had the Owl Cam that got, you know, obviously they went through a change and I never reset it up. Justin, you had the Cobra. Do you still have the Cobra?
No. The Cobra that we got from, I think it was around 2016 or so when I got it.
Yeah.
No, that failed a while back. I mean, I wasn't taking it out of my dash during the summer months. So it was getting baked.
Yeah. Mine blew out the battery. Poof. Just expanded.
Well, I mean, you're in Arizona, so your temperatures of your car approach the sun, the temperature of the sun. Even up here in Denver, though, no, I mean, you know, it just got to the point where it couldn't last. So I got a new camera called Nexar, and it uses an app on your phone, and it basically uploads. So when you get in your car, your phone will connect Bluetooth to the camera automatically, and then it uploads the footage to the cloud immediately from the previous drive. So that way, even if the camera blows up or you get a major accident and the camera gets destroyed, your footage, at least what they say, is supposed to get backed up into the cloud almost real time.
So that way, if you needed it for an investigation, you'd be able to download it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to use the SD card. It's just uploaded to the cloud, and it's pretty good. I mean, it's decent. I've had a couple issues, and I don't know if there was like an over the air update to it, but there was an issue where the camera just would never shut off. Because, I mean, I leave it plugged into my, you know, the cigarette lighter, and it's supposed to shut off after you turn off the engine. So after you, you know, turn off the engine, your accessory mode, you open the door, the whole car shuts off, you know, you close the door. The camera is supposed to shut off. And for the longest time, probably a good year, year and a half, it would sit there and just tell me that Nexar was recording in the background on my phone. It would tell me like, hey, Nexar is recording. And I'd look at the footage and it would just be dark because the garage is black. But I'm like, why is it still recording? But all of a sudden, I don't know, it was like the last 3 or 4 months, it just stopped doing that.
Maybe a
firmware. I don't know if there was, yeah, it could have been a firmware update. But I mean, I'm glad it does that, because now I don't have to worry about, you know, 17 hours of just black footage, you know, because the garage is dark.
That's one of the things I loved about the Owlcam, was that I remember I had to take my car to the shop to get the window repaired. And I remember it goes to the shop and I got a notification at like 3 a.m. and it's getting ready to come in for work. And I looked, and, you know, I was going to drive Gloria's truck into work, and my car was sitting there in the shop, and a cat ran across the hood of the car. And I thought, actually, that was kind of a cool thing. And my thing is, I would have, you know, Owlcam shut down, the service went away, and then I still have the camera. Then the company got funding, and they kind of came back. I can't get them to just say, I want to start service again with the camera.
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost me? I can't get that answer. They want me to buy a new camera, and I'm like, I don't need to. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Of course they do.
It would be ridiculous.
Of course they do.
You know, and
yeah, so, you know, going back to the dash cam stuff, right? It's like, I've had a dash cam since 2011, I think. Dash cam videos on the internet are my rabbit hole that I could spend hours and hours and hours just watching dash cam videos of bad drivers, car crashes. It all started, so the history of kind of dash cams is that they were very popular in Russia.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of where they started.
Yep.
And back when I actually had a live journal, there was a live journal dedicated to Russian dash cam videos. I don't know how I found it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it started. So I have a Rexing. Dash cam.
I've never heard of
car.
That.
And then I have a Yi. I have there in my car because that was the brand that I had originally. And then I changed because Yi's quality kind of went downhill the last handful of updates that they did, cameras and stuff. So Rexing has kind of been the middle of the market where you're not spending $200 on a dash cam.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. That's pretty good. Now, does that work via SD card?
Yeah, just micro SD. Yep. So it turns on when you turn your car on, turns off when you turn your car off. So that's all I need.
When I did the latest Apple update to 16.2, I can't connect to my Garmin anymore. Tried everything via Bluetooth. For some reason, it just doesn't want to. It doesn't want to, you know, connect. Although I have dropped it. It's dropped off the dash many times because it was on there with a sucker to holding it to the window. And then over time, it just says, I'm done. And it lets go.
Yeah. And it always happens at the worst time, too. It's like you're already driving on the interstate. It's like, ba-dum, and it just falls off your dash. You're like,
yes,
really?
Now, Cobra still makes good ones. But again, I think the recommendation, if anybody's listening, thinking, oh, I want to get a dash cam now, make sure you take it in at the end of the day, or just take it and put it in the glove box.
Put up a sunshade.
Yeah.
Or a sunshade even. Yeah. Put up sunshade to protect it, because otherwise that battery in my Cobra, I know that just puffed up and that was it for that one. And Justin ran into the same kind of issue. Now, speaking of Justin, your Christmas, you know, we talked about that. Like, how was your Christmas?
Well, it wasn't necessarily Christmas Day, but it was like the week of Christmas. We got the bomb cyclone before Sean got
Denver.
Yeah. So we got it first. I mean, it was like Montana and then Wyoming and then Colorado, and then it kind of zoomed over to Kansas and then into Indiana and Ohio and then New York and all that stuff. Right. But, it was crazy. It was Wednesday. So I had picked up Eric from school, and we went to Brews Beers, which is what we normally do. I'll let Eric work on some homework or whatever. Maybe, you know, watch a little iPad video or something like that while I finish up my work day.
Yeah.
And as we left, the haboob came in. Like, literally, it was like a haboob.
Wow. I didn't know you got one.
Oh, yeah. It was like a haboob. It came in, and it was just a cloud of dust, and it dropped 35 degrees in 15 minutes.
Ooh.
It went from like 55 to like 20.
Yeah.
And that's when the storm started. And, you know, and then I had to do trivia night that night. So I'm doing trivia night and it's snowing outside. I get out there. My car is covered in like 3 inches of snow already just by 9 p.m. I get home. Right? I get home. I park my car in my garage. I close the garage door. I go inside. You know, I go to bed. And then the next day, I go to open my garage and I go in the garage. I hit the door opener. And the garage opens up like 6 inches and then it just stops.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Right. So I press the button again, right? Because you press it once to open and you press it again to close. So I press it the second time to close it and it doesn't do anything. It just clicks once.
Right.
Like you can hear the motor trying to click just one single time and then it stops. And then you press it again a third time, and then it opens up another 6 inches. And then a fourth time, clicks once. A fifth time, it opens up another 6 inches. So it was opening a little bit by little bit, but it wouldn't close at all.
Uh-oh.
And so I finally get the door all the way open, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I think what it was is it got so cold, it warped the garage door.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Or the logic board. I don't know exactly what it was, but I ended up manually releasing the garage door, but then the garage door was too heavy for it to stay up on its own. So as soon as I would let go of the cable, the garage door would come crashing down. I mean, I didn't let it crash down, but yeah. It would come down. So I couldn't keep the garage door open long enough for me to get in my car and pull it out. Right. So I had to release the garage door. So then I have an unsecured garage. Like, I get it. It's negative 50 outside. I don't think anybody's going to come and test garage doors at negative 50 degrees.
Right.
But I still didn't feel comfortable having that. So I call over my neighbor. He comes over. We got a hair dryer. We start trying to warm up the motor. We spray some lubricant in the motor area of the garage door opener, thinking maybe it's just getting jammed up. Nah, man. But if you put the garage door into programming mode, by holding those buttons on the actual, you know, garage door opener itself. And if you press the close button, it closes all the way. No problem. So that's, I'm like, wait, hold up.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, is the logic board just like screwed up? Like, is there like, is it got so cold that, you know, some of the circuits aren't firing off correctly? So I don't know what it was, but I waited. So after a couple of days, we had like a negative 50, then it was a negative 20, and then it was like 40. And then today was like 55. Tomorrow's going to be 65.
Right.
You know, it's going to get right back up there. Right. I even today when it was like 55 degrees out, it still won't work. So I called the garage door company like that same day. It was, you know, Thursday morning. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we can get out there Tuesday.
Tuesday of next week. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, hold on. Wait, my garage doesn't work. Well, you know, yeah, with, you know, the storm coming in and then, you know, Christmas and all that, you know, we can get out there. Tuesday from 8 a.m. till about 9 p.m. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks great for window. Narrowing it down. Awesome. Appreciate
it. You don't have it. I'm surprised you don't have the mic cue. You didn't get that from Chamberlain?
No, I do. I do have that. And I have the Wyze cam. I have the Wyze garage door opener as well. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference if the garage door itself won't open or close.
Right.
But still, it's annoying. And then the fact that they're going to, you know, come out, you know, Tuesday, and that's my wife's birthday. So I really can't be home all day for that. So I don't know what's going to happen, man. We just opened the garage door. We parked our cars outside and we just said, screw it. We got the garages empty. The cars are sitting outside. Hopefully they'll be okay.
So wait, the garage is stuck open?
No. Oh, okay, the garage, okay. I did. I hooked it back up into the chain or the belt drive.
Right.
And then I used the manual control to close it all the way.
Right.
But I can't use my garage door opener to open the garage door anymore.
I don't know where my opener is. I just know if I'm in the garage, I got to keep pressing the button. It's like you can't just press it once and let it work. You have to hold it. And somebody told me that was a misalignment of the beam, because there has to be a beam, and that could be fixed pretty easily.
That's what my neighbor said. It was like, oh, yeah, you just try holding the button down because that means there's a misalignment. Nope, nope, that didn't do it. And I made sure that beam was working.
No, I got my
phone out. Now, here's a trick. Your phone can actually detect infrared. You can't do that with your eyes. But if you take your phone's camera and point it at an infrared source, say like your remote of your TV or the laser beam, it's not technically laser, but the laser beam of your garage door, it can actually detect the infrared.
You're kidding
me. You can point your phone at it and you can see the infrared coming out one side, go to the other side. And if that infrared is matching up right with that light sensor, then you know that your infrared is on point and that your garage door is tuned properly.
I had no idea. That's pretty cool. That's good to hear. All right. Now, what about like getting something for Christmas? I know you had a pretty good list. Did you get everything you wanted that you had put on your list? Nothing?
I got like two things.
That's it?
No, I mean, off
but they're good.
List. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I got this shirt. I got the shirt.
This very nice shirt.
I got, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did get a cooking apron, because I do a lot more grilling and smoking now and cooking. So I got an apron. It's actually funny. It's off that quote from Game of Thrones. It's Peter Dinklage, who plays, what's his name? Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
And it says, "This is what I do. I cook and I know things." Well, because in the show Game of Thrones, he says, "This is what I do. I drink and I know things."
Right.
Now, I actually have a mug. I have a beer mug that actually has that quote. "This is what I do. I drink and I know things."
That's good.
So the apron's pretty cool. But, I got a nice barbecue utensil set.
Nice.
Really nice one of those. And then I got a nice meat thermometer for the smoker. It was a good Christmas overall.
Did you get the digital one? That's the one that ties to your smartphone?
Have you seen that one? It does not tie to the smartphone. No, it doesn't do that. But it's digital. It's got a two-piece unit, so I can set one outside on the smoker or the grill, and then inside is the actual unit that reads off of it. And it works off Bluetooth. The surprising thing was, though, as soon as I fired this thing on, all of a sudden, my home assistant, right, that controls my home, all the smart home features, comes up and says, "Hey, we detected a new product." I'm like, "Whoa, really?" I'm like, "Okay, what is this?" And it says it detected a ThermoPro thermometer.
That's not
I'm
creepy.
I'm like, "Oh my God, this works with Home Assistant?" Like, yeah. I'm like, "This is awesome." I can't get it to work. I think it was a false positive or something like that, because it says, "Hey, we see the ThermoPro," and I'm like, "Then why don't you tell me the temperature?"
Yeah, exactly. You know? All right, now, Sean, I think you got yourself something that was on the list.
Yeah, so I got a couple things that were on my list. I got the Stream Deck. It's the...
Whatever. Which Stream Deck?
15-button one.
Okay.
Yes, the,
yeah, 10-button.
Wait, how big?
Yeah, it's
15-button.
15,
one.
Oh, it's whatever.
All right, cool.
Yeah, Stream Deck Mini.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Yeah, the Mini. Yeah, because it's the white one, which is cool, because I didn't know they made a white one. But it was on sale for Black Friday, so I think my in-laws got it for me when it was on sale. So
they actually don't make a white one. If you got a white one, you got it off of Wish.
Oh, yeah, great. That's why I was screwing up earlier.
Yep.
So
that's why I was messing up all your inputs.
Incredible replication.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... it's cool. I was playing with it. It was working, but as soon as I launched Skype, it lost its brain and started changing my mic inputs and stuff. So I got to figure out what's going on with that. But
yeah,
I won't use it with the Stream Deck software. I'll actually use it with Bitfocus Companion.
That's your problem.
Yeah, maybe taking Bitfocus out and using the Stream Deck software would be the
official software.
Using the Stream Deck software.
Yeah,
that's what was causing it to screw up.
Ah, okay, got it.
Bitfocus Companion, we'll see. Anyways, I plugged it in today. I haven't had a chance to really configure it yet. I just tossed a couple presets in there, and who knows, maybe I screwed something up. But.
That's what you do. You just start messing with your whole setup right before a show recording. That's always that's always good.
Yeah, it makes fun. I mean, I'm good at troubleshooting stuff. So
I have been debating on that, too, because, every day I do work. And I finally got into my computer, the one that I built recently. And, I went to Windows Update because I did the most recent update, and I saw it still gave me the message that it's not ready for Windows 11 yet. And I thought, darn it. So then I thought, wait a minute, why isn't it ready? So if you go to the Microsoft website and you try to run the update, it will give you a link to test your PC health. It's an app that you can download from Microsoft directly. Don't listen to anybody else and get it from anywhere else. Get it within the Windows Update feature. And I went ahead and did it, and it told me that my TPM was not enabled. So I thought, that's interesting.
Like you need to go see a doctor.
Yeah, I got to take it to the doc. So no, I went into the BIOS, you know, when it starts up, and I looked, and I couldn't find TPM. They call it something else there. But I noticed that the BIOS update has not been done since I think it was May or June. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and run a BIOS update. So I did a BIOS update on the 590 board that I have from Asus. And as soon as it came back up, I ran the health diagnostics again, and it's fine. Now it's fine. So it just, that's all it needed to be able to go ahead and do it. And I could do the update, but I haven't done the update yet because again, it's every day. I don't want any downtime. So I'll just have to figure out when it's going to be good. You would think over the Christmas holiday would have been it, but no, that's not the case. So I ended up getting Gloria. I went through for Christmas. I was going through a little dilemma there. And it's kind of funny because Justin and I share something in common. Our wives are born on the same day, which is years apart, but the same day. Yeah. So I was thinking, do I get her a tablet for Christmas or a tablet for her birthday? And I ended up getting her a tablet for Christmas, but I was torn because she's an Apple user. You know, she has an iPhone. She has the iPhone 12. And I thought of getting her the iPad because then she could use it. Her text all come in on it and everything else. But I noticed she had an iPad mini and she hardly used it because she didn't like that integration. So I decided, and when I asked her what was talking about it, I said, how'd you like a new tablet? She said, oh, I'd like that. So I got her the Samsung Galaxy Tab 8. It's the Tab 8 tablet. And I haven't set it up yet, but we're talking with a difference of about $50 between the iPad and the Samsung. And the Samsung was the cheapest way to go. But people have been telling me that it was probably the smartest choice. The Galaxy tablets are really good.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Samsung Galaxy S7 Plus, and I love that tablet. I mean, it's great. My buddy just got the S8 Plus that just came out, and I think he got it from like a work deal or something. He only paid like $300 for his S8 Plus, which is like a $1,400 tablet.
Wow.
And it's even more amazing than my S7. But no, I love the Android, the Samsung Galaxy S7 Plus. It's a great tablet. It runs every single app. It's got major storage. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not tied into Apple's ecosphere. I mean, I don't like Apple.
She watches a lot of YouTube videos. So I said, and she has a Gmail account and she does, you know, Google Photos. I said, honestly, this is probably going to be the best way to go. And, you know, the fact that the price was a little cheaper also made it kind of nice. And it came with a case. Whereas the, you know, the iPad, if you go and buy it, you don't get that case right away. You're going to go buy that as secondary.
Yep.
So,
Well, I actually had to buy, a case for my S7 Plus. It was like a magnetic case. It wasn't nothing special. It didn't come with a keyboard or anything like that, but it was the magnetic case. It did come with a stylus. That was one thing it did come with. So
nice. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, listen, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more of Tech Talk Radio. Believe it or not, what is the best voice assistant for your smartphones? The vote has been done, and I'll share that with you coming up. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
You may actually hear me a little better now.
Oh! So, it is!
After all of the troubleshooting that I did,
yes,
and after I had a Zoom session last night with my family, my microphone had been turned around.
So you were talking into the wrong end.
I was actually talking into the back end. So if you know anything about microphones, right, this microphone has multiple pickup patterns, right? It's set up for the proper broadcasting pickup, which is hypercardioid, right?
Yeah.
It looks like a heart shape. So I was talking into the back end of the pickup, which is a void. There's nothing there. So
you were talking into the butt of the microphone.
I was talking into the butt.
See,
I was talking out my butt.
We would sound like this if we were doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, hey, I'm Sean.
This way.
This is Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Then once we figured that out, I tried to do the open to the break and I was muted. So it's been a day. So
we got
it's
through
been
it.
A day. Yes.
We got through it.
We're going to talk about something we've talked about in the past, password management and password security.
Yes.
Mm.
Very we important. All use 1Pass.
We all use 1. I use it. You use it. Justin uses it.
There, and there's multiple reasons why. And some of us had used LastPass and left LastPass when they went to the subscription model. Well, yep. We talked about this before, too, is LastPass had a breach of their security.
Yeah, this December is back in August, I think.
It's October, back in August, yeah. Right? They said, hey, we learned somebody got in. They didn't collect anything. Great. Well, December 22nd, they released a notice
wrong.
Of recent security incident. Wrong. They were wrong. Based on their investigation to the date, which is the 22nd, we have learned that an unknown threat actor accessed a cloud-based storage environment leveraging information obtained for the incident we previously disclosed in August of 2022. While no customer data was accessed during the August 2022 incident, some source code and technical information was stolen from our development environment.
Now, what could that unveil?
That development could contain obtaining credential keys, decrypting storage volumes within their cloud-based storage. So basically, they can get end usernames, billing addresses, email addresses, telephone numbers, and the IP addresses from which customers were accessing their LastPass service.
Not only that, they actually can access the websites that you visit with LastPass. They can't get right. your password, but now that narrows down, this person goes to Wells Fargo. This person goes to Kroger. This person goes to Bank of America. Now they know your name, your address, your email, and what websites you possibly have accounts with. So now they can concentrate their attacks on those particular accounts.
They can up their game when it comes to a phishing attack.
Yeah, so now their attacks, they don't have to brute force you. So a little bit of social engineering, you're going to fill out a Facebook survey from some rando on your Facebook page. It's going to be like, what street you grew up on? What was your pet's name? What was your first car?
Oh, my God,
You're going to fill all that out, and then you're going to be like, huh, my bank account's empty. I wonder why.
Yeah.
I want to touch on that. There are tons of these Facebook pages or Instagram pages that pretend even to be like a radio station. And it says in the nice, beautiful, colorful letters on their post, ha, I bet you can't tell me what street you grew up on. And you're like, oh, it's a radio station. They're asking what street I grew up on. I should totally answer that. No, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't answer any type of questions like, well, somebody posts on their question on their wall. Oh, I bet you don't remember who your fifth grade teacher was. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
No, this is what they do. These organizations, these hacker organizations, usually from Russia or China or somewhere like that, they will post these fake posts that look like they're radio stations or TV stations or somebody that you can trust asking a seemingly innocent question about your past for you to answer it. And you don't realize that you've just given up a potential security question.
So going beyond that, too, Sean, I know you've experienced this. I have as well on Snapchat and Instagram, other social media, where you will get that connection, that person trying to make that conversation with you, that connection. Now, even seemingly innocent games like Words with Friends, which I play on a regular basis, I've noticed that I'm suddenly getting the request to have a conversation. And it was kind of strange at first because, you know, you're playing a game against random people. And then I get somebody like, hey, how are you? So I answered back. I said, doing fine. Thanks. You know, and then it was suddenly, you know, do you play this a lot? You know, okay. Oh, what do you use? Apple or do you use do you use Android? And then I noticed that, and I'm like, right away, I clicked on. I'm thinking, oh, and it says, oh, where are you? What? And you say where you are at. They want to know the state, the city. What do you do for a living? They're fishing. And so even on games that you would think, you know, this is just somebody being friendly and nice.
And they'll make it in.
Yeah, don't give up that info. don't say
they'll make
anything.
It into a conversation too.
Yeah, now I just don't accept the conversations. I just not
they'll be like, they'll be like, oh, Andy, your name is Andy. Oh, that's awesome. What do you and what do you do? Oh, your radio? Oh, I love radio. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I was a radio DJ about 20 years ago. I worked for this station, blah, blah, blah. They'll just Google a random station, say they work for it because they want to get your trust.
Exactly.
And then you'll be like, oh, this guy's a radio DJ too. Okay, yeah, I can trust him. I'll talk to this person. And now they've got you. Don't. Yeah.
Don't
nobody.
Do it.
Don't answer any random stranger's questions at all. Don't.
Yeah. It would be like if somebody walked up to you on the street and just suddenly, you know, stopped you in the street and said, hey, so where'd you used to live? You know, you just, I mean.
What was the name of your street you used to grow up on? What was your mom's maiden name?
What's your dog's name? You know, so again.
What was your first pet?
You've got to be really, really careful about that stuff. And I don't think enough people are saying, no, this is happening in games as well, where you're playing a game and seems innocent. You don't have to accept the conversations. You can decline. Don't feel like you're being rude. Just that's not why you're there. You're there to play a game. You know?
Exactly. Don't try to. Yeah, exactly. Don't feel like you're being rude to them. No, they're being rude to you. Okay.
Now, Sean, with this LastPass problem that they're going through, does that mean? I mean, number one, you've got to be up on your toes on some of these issues. But does that mean everybody should change their password? What could be the other problems derived from this?
Well, so the issue with that, right? So you say change your password, right? So you have your master password,
yeah.
That's stored in 256 bit encryption, meaning it would take millions of years for somebody to brute force that. But the problem is if you reuse that master password on another site that isn't encrypted. And
good point.
if one of those sites is linked to the data they have and they brute force that site, or that site doesn't have good security, or, you know, it's, they could get it from there and then they just aggregate that data and then they brute force, you know, so I would change my master.
Never use the same password on any website.
Like, never.
I've got to interject here a little bit. This is not quite necessarily true yet, but two words. Quantum computing. All right. That's the future. It's the very, very near future. And when quantum computing becomes a reality, these brute force attacks are going to take seconds when they would used to take millennia.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Quantum computing is going to effectively tenfold, like, or hundredfold.
The speeds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've had to do some password cracks before, and I've been able to do it. And we are talking sometimes weeks, but it will do it. But if you're doing an encryption like that, forget it. You know?
Well, 256-bit is the standard right now. I have a feeling that with the advent of quantum computing, we may see things like gigabit, strength encryption, 1024 megabit instead of 256 megabit.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
All right. So do you guys use voice assistants at all? Sean, I know you don't have them in the house, but how about on your smartphone? Do you use Siri?
I only have it activated because I have to run CarPlay.
Okay.
You have to have Siri enabled to run CarPlay. I hate it because I don't use it other than that. And if I talk too loud, she'll probably start listening, but I don't use it. And a real quick,
she's always listening.
Yes.
At my in-laws' house, my in-laws have their whole house wired up with Alexa, right? So at our house, we go and we turn the lights off with the switch and stuff. So Caitlin and I
old
turned
school.
Off some of the lights.
Yeah.
We had turned off some of the lights to put Max to sleep in the living room when we were up there. And then her parents couldn't figure out why the lights weren't working. Because you could hear him saying, Alexa, turn on the lights. And then mom would get upset because she's like, the lights aren't working. It's Alexa doesn't know what she's talking about. And then I went over and I clicked the light and it came on.
I felt
bad, but it's like we didn't know they were all tied up to Alexa or whatever. But
the funniest part about these home assistants, right? Like Google or Alexa or whatever, is if you go up to them and you mute the microphone, you tell it, you know, hey, mute the microphone, or you press a button to mute the microphone, right? And then you say the keyword, Alexa, and it will say, your microphone is muted. You're like, wait, what? why are you even answering me? Like, if my microphone is muted, why are you even answering me?
Oh, now that's very interesting. Didn't even think about that. All right. If you use voice assistants, everybody has their favorite.
I do. Google.
Google. So you use Google. Where did Siri for Apple rank? All right. When it comes to many assistants,
probably.
Right?
Probably one.
Well, believe it or not, you know, I've never been a fan of Bixby. I don't know about you. Yeah, Bixby. It's still around, too. That's the thing. They haven't gotten rid of Bixby.
Samsung.
Yet.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
Bixby, weirdly, did better than Apple's Siri.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. This is on your smart devices, not your home assistants. This is on your phone. Bixby did better than Siri, but Siri still didn't come in last. For some reason, Alexa made the list when it comes to your smartphones.
Last place? Well, first off, you don't really get Alexa on your smart devices. Yeah. Smartphones. Like, yes, your Amazon Echo. But also, what was it? There was an article just released a couple months ago or something, saying that Amazon was killing off Alexa because it was losing billions of dollars.
I don't know if they could do that. I don't think they would.
They were going to kill off. I think they were either going to kill off a portion of the team. Not literally kill off the portion of the team, or like fire a portion of the team. That would be pretty bad. I mean, Amazon is Amazon. I mean, they're pretty cutthroat, but I don't think they would commit mass murder.
The top voice assistant for your smartphone, ranked by this survey that was done, is Google Assistant, which I will say. And I've done this because there are many times where I'm sitting here and I want to know something.
That was me clapping, by the way.
Yes, I want to know something about a song. So I will ask, you know, the Siri. I will ask her to find it for me. And it won't, you know, I won't get anything out of that.
Yeah. No, it'll be like, I found the song for you. It's 99 cents on iTunes. Would you like to buy it?
Exactly. You know, I just want to get the info on a song. But I found it by open up Google Chrome, which is on my, you know, my iPhone, which I love. I love the iPhone 14 Pro Max. But I will open that up and I will use the Google Assistant and I will get all the info I need. Who did the song? All the info. The Google Assistant seems to, you know, interact with Chrome a lot better and give me the info that I want.
True. That is true. But let's go back to what we were talking about a little bit ago, right? Now that you've asked, you know, what was, give me a song, Andy, give me a song that you might look up on Google.
All right. Just give me, how about
artist?
Tell me about Tom Bell, the music producer.
Okay.
All right.
So now Google is going to know, well, Andy likes Tom Bell. So let's go ahead and serve him ads related to Tom Bell.
Well, yeah,
that's the downside of it.
He just passed away. That's why I brought him up. So
well, sure. Okay. Yeah. That could be the case, but now Google knows, oh, they're searching for this.
So let's go ahead and serve them. Yeah.
Yeah. Might get music in that genre, or you might get ads based on that, or they might just turn around and sell that information to another company that says, hey, we're looking for people that have interest in music. What do you got? Oh, I got this dude named Andy Taylor that likes Tom Bell. How about that?
How about songs?
All right, we'll buy that for 50 cents. You know?
Yeah. That's what it's all about. Same goes with our personal data. That's, you know, when you get to the, you know, the dark net, that's how it's all done. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, though. CES is coming up. And we weren't going to be going this year, right?
We weren't?
Yeah, we weren't.
I thought you bought us tickets.
No, we kind of held off this year.
Well, I guess I got to refill my phone.
And it's sad because we just got an invite from Paula Abdul to go meet her in CES.
Okay, we're going, dude. I need my Paula Abdul. You know this.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk with a representative from the Consumer Technology Association about CES 2023, what to expect, what are the cool technology. That's all coming up next on Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Well, we're really excited that another year of great technology is going to be unveiled at the big Consumer Electronics Show 2023. And it's just around the corner. It's going to be taking place on Thursday, January 5th through Sunday, January 8th. And you know, all the greatest, newest technologies are going to be shown. And we're happy to have with us Kinsey Fabricio, this with the Consumer Technology Association that puts on the big CES show, Senior Vice President of Membership. So good to talk to you, Kinsey. Thanks for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you. you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you about CES 2023.
Now, all year long, you start planning for the next event for the following year. There is a lot of new technology we've seen in the last year as well. What are some of the things that are going to be represented at this year's CES?
There is a lot of new technology that's going to be on display at CES 2023, and there's really something for everyone, you know? Automobile and mobility technology is going to be a big key theme. You'll see it in terms of, you know, vehicles, electric vehicles, autonomous driving, but not just on land. We have a mobility tech for sea as well. There will be exhibitors like Brunswick and Candela displaying their electric boats.
Oh, wow.
And then mobility in the air is also a theme that you're going to see at CES. And there's a company called Rise Aerospace, which is an eVTOL company that's electric vertical takeoff and landing. And they will be doing a low-level flying demo at CES.
Oh, now the technology with that, they're saying we could see this as airworthy taxi services or the ability to get people for short hops within maybe the same town, that this technology we could see actually not that far away in the future.
And that's what's great about CES. When you come there, you're going to see all kinds of exciting stuff that, you know, hopefully becomes reality one day and really changes lives.
We're also seeing that movement into more virtual reality with the metaverse. Are they going to be showing some of that new technology this year?
Yeah, metaverse is a key theme, and you're going to see it across the show, really in all categories. You know, we like to say that the metaverse, in addition to, you know, gaming and the hardware technology, it's really the building blocks of the metaverse and Web3 that you're going to see on display at CES. So you'll see cool partnerships between companies that you may not think would partner. And an example would be Stellantis and Microsoft, who are partnering together to create the showroom in the metaverse.
Ooh.
And this is really cool. So you're going to see, you know, partnerships like that between, you know, large companies. You'll see some unique metaverse experiences from, you know, new companies hitting the scene, like a company called OVR, which is a haptics and a spatial sound full sensory immersion equipment that goes with VR technology. And what they allow you to do is actually smell in the metaverse.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which is pretty unique.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good. That could be awesome, like going through a rainforest or just about anywhere to really show a good point. Now, that is one way that I know it's the robotic technology is being used, but I have heard that also great strides in medical science. Now, you know, I've been going to CES for many, many years, and I remember seeing an actual health section where they talked about some of these great innovations that we're now seeing, that robotic healthcare, where surgeries can be performed precise with robotics.
Well, that's absolutely right. And health will be a huge key theme at CES 2023. Again, if you'll find it in the North Hall of the Convention Center, and there are so many technologies on display. Ones like you just mentioned, so surgical robotics, even training using VR and the metaverse for training surgeons and, you know, clinicians around the world, but also through delivering care through telehealth, which is a great theme. There's some really cool companies that have unique solutions in that space. You know, one to check out is a company called Neurologix. And what they have is a platform that allows for a patient to do a telehealth visit. But during that visit, their health and vital sign measurements would be captured while on the call through their technology, which is pretty unique and really allows the clinician to have even more data than ever on their patient during a telehealth visit.
Oh, that is great for somebody that maybe is not that mobile or has a ride. They could still get in touch with their doctor, their physician for an appointment when they need to.
Absolutely. And there'll be a lot of other health tech on display. Abbott will be returning to CES 2023. They have a great technology that they'll be displaying, some diagnostic blood testing for concussion detection, which is pretty groundbreaking, as well as a lot of great other tech from them. You're also going to see, you know, mental health technology solutions, sleep technology solutions. And another one that we at CTA really love, over-the-counter hearing aids. And, you know, the FDA recently made these available to consumers over-the-counter without having to go through a prescription or all the hoops that typically patients used to have to go through. And you'll see these techs on display at CES, and it's really, really fascinating to see how amazing the hearing technology is.
Well, I know there are situations when somebody is under medical care and maybe in an assisted living facility. They venture away from a living facility. And now the technology was, well, with wearable technology, you would actually be able to track and locate that person that maybe is out in where it's cold, out in the environment, where they are not getting any assistance. Is that technology continuing to develop?
Oh, absolutely. And it even goes beyond just tracking. It can do so much more. You know, wearable technology now can also predict when somebody, you know, may or may not be about to have a serious medical incident. Mm-hmm. There's a company called SK that has their Zero glasses that they'll be bringing to CES. And these glasses are developed for measuring biosignals that would help predict someone with epilepsy when they're about to have a seizure.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, even beyond just the GPS tracking, but also, you know, tracking for major medical incidents.
I love the fact that you have, you know, so many accomplished manufacturers and, you know, developers that will be showing at CES for 2023. But I also love the fact that you open it up to, new startups. And there's so many great new startups in the technology space. And you actually have, are you going to have again an area where you can go see some of these companies that are, you know, starting up, doing, you know, GoFundMes and other kickstarting type of funding to get their businesses off the ground?
We absolutely will. And the area you're referring to is Eureka Park. And it is one of the most vibrant, exciting parts of the show floor. You'll find around 1,000 startups in Eureka Park at CES 2023. And it's really a global display. Of course, there's plenty of domestic startups in there, but there's also startups from around the globe. There's over 20 countries that are represented in Eureka Park. And they're just showing some really, really fascinating and unique tech that's helping solve global challenges. You know, two that come to mind that I think are really cool. There's a company called AquaGarden that has indoor sustainable greenhouse and gardening devices so that consumers who are living in urban areas can still, you know, grow their own vegetables and really have access to, you know, ways to grow their own food for them. And then speaking of over-the-counter hearing aids, there's a great company that is creating an over-the-counter hearing aid that's an earring. And I just love that because it, you know, combines that fun fashion with, you know, true life-changing technology.
And this could be technology, again, that can be for very serious use, but also, let's face it, and I moderated a panel some years ago with the folks from Monster. They were on the panel and we had Steel Series on the panel, but it can be fun with gaming. Gaming is still a huge, huge piece of the pie when it comes to technology. So people playing, you know, creating and playing video games, that still is talked about at CES.
Oh, absolutely. Gaming is a huge category at CES 2023. You'll find it in the Central Hall, key exhibitors, Microsoft, Sony, Razer, Hypervision, so many great gaming exhibitors, and you're going to see some exciting new trends. You know, we talked about the metaverse, but in addition to that, you know, some cool gaming technology, like Samsung has their new Odyssey Neo G9 gaming monitor.
Oh, I want that.
It's so cool. It really is so cool. So it's 57 inches of display, and it's really like placing two UHD displays side by side, but in the same monitor. It's really, really exciting.
Talk about immersive. I've said I've wanted it, but I'd have to build an extra room to be able to fit it in there. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. But for those that can, you know, why
That's
not?
Exactly right.
Now, how many companies is the CTA kind of expecting to have displaying at CES this year?
Yeah, so right now we have over 3,000 companies signed up to exhibit at CES 2023. And if you can believe it or not, that number will continue to grow as we lead up to the show. You know, companies always come in last minute. So
yeah,
we're really excited about over 3,000 exhibitors.
Now, is there going to be a way that some of our listeners that maybe are not in that world of technology can view some of this stuff maybe online? Is there going to be kind of an online function of CES?
There will be. So we have a digital venue, and then the digital venue, you know, exhibitors who are physically at CES will also have digital booths where they can feature their content and connect with attendees of CES. But in addition to that, we stream our keynotes, which are so exciting, and we have a real great lineup of keynote speakers this year, you know, BMW, Stellantis, John Deere, AMD, Delta, some really, really exciting keynoters this year. So we'll stream those out. And then we also make much of our conference content available in our digital venue post-show as well.
This is going to be a lot of fun. And again, our listeners can find out more information by going onto the World Wide Web. What would be the best website address for them to check out?
It's very easy, ces.tech, and you can find everything about the show, from exhibitors to conference programming, keynote speakers, you know, show floor maps. All of the information is up on ces.tech.
All right, Kinzie, I have to ask you, what is the one technology that you saw? And I know that's not fair, but what is the one technology you saw you thought, oh, I got to have it?
Well, there's so many. I see so many things every year that I think I got to have it. But probably my favorite, you know, category of tech, I think there's two. I love digital health, and just, you know, I'm a mom. I have kids. I think seeing all of the unique ways that you can, you know, manage your own health and wellness, manage your children's health and wellness, that's very exciting to me. But I also really love food tech, and there's some really cool companies that'll be at CES, you know, whether it's through unique kitchen countertop appliances or protein alternatives. I think the food tech at the show is super exciting as well. So, two categories I really like.
Well, once again, it's CES.tech. Kinzie Fabrizio, great to talk to you. We look forward to, you know, once the show is going on, I know we'll be talking again with representatives from CES. So hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again.
Yes, absolutely. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to seeing you in Las Vegas at CES.
Got to be there. And we'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I have to tell you guys, Epic Games has been so cool. They did this 15 days of free games every day. Did any of you get anything from it?
No. Yeah, I went in. I don't remember which games I got, but I just went in every day and got the free game. I don't remember what they were.
So I did. I got Wolfenstein, which was, that was kind of cool. I am terrible at the shoot'em games. I started playing it's first-person shooter. I was not good with the keyboard mouse. Not like I used to be. I used to be able to play all of them. Unreal.
Yeah.
You know, Wolfenstein 3D.
Is this the original Wolfenstein?
No, it's a revamped Wolfenstein.
Yeah, the newer one, like 2016, 2017, something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But the game that I really, really liked, and I would go out and buy this if they took the game away from me, Lego Builder. It is
Lego Builder.
Yeah, it's so weird. You've got a little platform and you build Lego. It gets progressively a little more difficult, and that's all you do. Soft music, nice sounds, and you
Builder's
build.
Journey is that? What,
yes,
that,
is that Lego it? Builder's Journey. Sean, you got to play that if you download it. It's a lot of fun.
Is it still free?
No. See, once the games went away, that was it. But that would be a great game for Eric.
Yeah. Because he loves Legos now.
Great game for you, too.
I actually just got Lego Star Wars, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga on Game Pass, on Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, yeah.
And it is really, really good. And I didn't have to pay a dime for it. Like, it's free, and Eric's loving it.
The Lego where you actually play as the Lego character, are mind-blowingly awesome.
Absolutely.
I was pretty blown away at how cool it was. So, yeah, so if you're looking for something really good, it's relaxing. You just build things. Take a look at Lego Builder's Journey or this new Lego Star Wars one. That sounds pretty good, too. I might go ahead and get that. I was going to get Cyberpunk, which is available on Epic Games, and I thought, if I don't like shoot-em-up games, maybe I won't be good at it.
Cyberpunk is a great game.
You want to kind of tease something that we're going to talk about next week.
Yeah, so I came across this crazy – I was watching YouTube or whatever – it's talking about the U.S. Congress and talking about how more and more congresspeople, senators and representatives are getting closer to the point where they're like, hey, enough is enough. We need to talk about aliens. There's been so many stories of fighter pilots or astronauts who have seen things and they have been told by their superiors, you forget this ever happened. Don't ever mention anything about this ever again.
Yeah.
Long story short, we're going to talk about it next week, but there are aliens. Okay. There are aliens. They have visited us and we have almost definite proof.
You're reminding me of that guy now on TV with the crazy hair.
It's aliens, man. It's aliens.
All right. That's it for this week's show. The last show of the year. Have yourselves a wonderful New Year's. Please be safe. We'll be back next week with more, of course, Alien Talk. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Here's to you and your family, wishing you a happy 2023. We'll see you next week.